Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, instead of champagne. Don't worry, little children, and don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, your body comes from that pain. When life gives you lemons, take lemonade.
Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hama.
Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm on walking down the street feeling like, oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Well, at the bottom of the gas now, I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm doing much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, 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 but now I feel better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, instead of champagne, don't worry, little children, I don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, your body comes from that pain. When life gives you lemon, take lemonade.
Hama, 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 hama.
I would say for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. If I can just get out of my own way. When life gives you lemons, instead of champagne. Don't worry, little children, I don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, your body comes from that pain. When life gives you lemons, take lemonade.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part, where we're like, no, 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 lemonade, no. So dumb. It's already been done, like, a billion times. But luckily I was in the shot, because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show. This is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, also known as Miss Delicious. And I really don't know how this show is sounding tonight because I'm using a different phone to do the show. So if it's not sounding good, can someone please let me know? All right, my show is for the tame and the untamed. It's serious with a dash of humor. Life is where you make it. You may be rich but unhappy or broken happy. You may have had many adversities in your life. Taurus, ever been down so low you can swing your legs on a dime? Do you have a sense of humor? ever laughed at yourself? What is your overall view of life? Want to vent or just have something to get off your chest? If you answered yes to one of these questions, then this show is for you. On my show, you get free exposure if you're a business owner, starting a business, author, expert, or just want to share information of importance. I invite you to come on as a guest and let's chop it up. Sorry, there'll be no discussing religion or politics. If you're interested in becoming a co-host or guest, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Again, that email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Okay, this evening's show is about rants. And, you know, sometimes when I rant, I just rant about things that I may have seen something that happened on television, a program, or heard something on the news, or talk to somebody about something. But, you know, it's just going to be rants this evening about things that few news articles that I saw on the internet, and also the show that I watch, Wendy Williams, and I refer to her as William Wendy, but you know who Wendy Williams is. She's she had her own radio show back in the day, and now she's on television. And when Wendy Williams first came on television, maybe about 10 years ago or however long ago it was, I really didn't like watching her because she really is not the person then that she is now, because now she just, I don't know, it's things that she says that irks me, that really, you know, get on my nerve. Like, for instance, on one of her shows, she, you know, she has a segment called Ask Wendy. And this young lady had got up and asked and told her that she was, I think, a 27-year-old virgin, and she, you know, she was tired of, you know, being a virgin, and she had a boyfriend, but she still wanted to keep her virginity. But then she's saying that she wants to know, should she just go on and do it and get it over with, blah, 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 blah. Now, mind you, Wendy Williams says to this 27-year-old virgin, did you drink? So the young lady said, yes. Well, take a few drinks and then get it on. What kind of mess is that to tell a virgin? You know, that is something that is really rare these days to find virgins, especially 27, you know, and some, you know, younger, but 27-year-old virgin. You know what? Wendy Williams' son, I don't know how old he is, but he's in college. But if someone, if he was a virgin, I don't know if he's a virgin or not, but what kind of advice would she want someone to tell her son if he was a virgin? Oh, go get drunk and then do it. You know, you have to also think about, I have kids, when I say this to my own child, you know, sometimes some of the things that Wendy say out of her mouth really, I don't even know why she says them, but I guess for the popularity or whatever, I don't know. But, you know, she hates Dancing with the Stars because she was the first one eliminated after two shows or whatever. I don't know. But because Wendy, she has two left. Well, for real, Wendy don't have that much going on when it comes to body, because she looks like a board with two big lumps in it, front and back flat. Nothing, no hips, no derriere, nothing but all those breasts. And it looks ridiculous. I don't care if she had a, if her breast was flat as a board, to get that much implants is ridiculous. Because number one, she should have built the rest of her body up, got some hips and a derriere, and her legs look like two spaghetti sticks. No, and everything that Wendy Williams puts on, she doesn't look nice in anything because she doesn't have the body. But she's always talking about other people. For instance, Honey Boo Boo, I'm sure you're familiar with her. She was a pageant baby a while back, and she won a lot of pageants. Her mom used to give her this this juice with all these different sugars in it to keep her boost up. Anyway, Honey Boo Boo is 12 or 13, something like that, and she is a big girl, and she was on Dance with the Stars Junior. Now, she stayed on there far longer than Wendy Williams, you know, and she danced better than Wendy Williams, and she got eliminated. Wendy Williams says, well, look at her. What do you mean, look at her? You know, everybody knows she's a big girl, but, you know, Wendy Williams is just a hater when it comes to Dance with the Stars. That is one show she hates because of the simple fact she was eliminated after only two. I think she was only did two dances or whatever she was doing on there. She was eliminated for that. But, you know, just the things that come out of her mouth are just sometimes ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But then she was talking about Kevin Hart. Well, not really talking about Kevin Hart, but, you know, Kevin Hart was supposed to have been the master of ceremonies at the Oscars. Was it the Oscars? Or I think the Oscars or some type of award event that's coming up. Now, he has said some derogatory things about the LGBT, I guess I got that right, the LGBT community or whatever, and they wanted him to apologize. Now, things that he said weren't, you know, really nice or whatever, but it's his right to say whatever he wants to say. But see, sometimes people say things that they have to, that they regret, or they may have to go back and bite their words or eat their words or whatever. So he apologized, but this was what he had said a while back, tweeting something that, you know, he was sorry, whatever, whatever. So they had asked him to do the Oscars, call him and tell him to apologize, you know, for what he said about the LGBT, I guess I'm saying that right, well, the gay community, whatever. And he says he's not doing that anymore because he's done it and he's over it and don't keep throwing it up in his face or whatever, whatever. And I can almost understand where he's coming from because if he apologized once for it, you know, and then they're going to have, what the thing of it is, they probably had invited him on to host the show and to get him to make it televised that he apologized to the complete gay community or whatever. But if he apologized, whenever he apologized, then that should be enough. But they're saying that was then, this is now. How many times do you have to keep saying that you're sorry for something that you did when you've already confessed that you're sorry and whatever? So he just said, well, you know what? They can have the Oscars. You know, but I think it was all a ruse to get him on there to apologize, you know, openly and so to be televised so everybody that's gay or whatever could see that he apologized. But just because he says he's sorry, doesn't necessarily mean that he means he's sorry, but he did apologize. But he's still sticking by, you know, what he said as far as he's not going to apologize anymore. And, you know, but now watch how all these trolls and all these people will start hating on Kevin and, you know, trying to ruin his career and so forth and so on. You know, because that's when the things that's when the things happen in people's lives when they don't conform or want to do things accordingly to how society wants them to do things. If you don't do it the way society say do it, then you know we're gonna ruin you. We're gonna ruin your career. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. You're gonna be outcast and blackballed and all these old crazy things. So Kevin, keep doing what you're doing. you're a comedian, and but you know, select your words and how you talk about people a little bit more with compassion or whatever, because gay people, and they're going to be gay people and do things that they do, and that's it. You don't have to accept anything that they do, because you don't have to, you know, even be involved with them, you know. But we're all in this world for a purpose and a reason. And, you know, just try to get along with everybody, because nobody is the judge of anybody. You know, nobody but God judges. And, you know, everything will be taken care of in the end, whether the person's done right or wrong. They will be judged. So, you know, let it go and keep doing what you're doing. And let that be that. Then there was something else she had said about Miley Cyrus and her mother, Tish. They're getting high together. So she says, well, it wouldn't be me. But, you know, as long as they do it in the house, you know, by themselves, whatever, whatever, it's okay. But to me, I think a mother and a daughter, or a mother and a son, father, daughter, get gets high together, I think there's going to be some respect lost there. You know, because there's a difference when you get high with your little friends. Y'all can laugh and tee-hee, giggle and do this and do that and say certain things. And you're getting high with your parents and you forget that that's your parent. You're treating your parent like your friend. And you say something, you know, mom, you're going to get angry. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, I would never get high with, you know, my children, and I wouldn't suggest that anybody, any other parent gets high with their children. But, you know, you got people do what they do. That's on them. That's on them. Okay. I know you heard about the song Baby It's Cold Outside. It had a little clipping of the movie 1944. I think it was by Frank Langer's. Can't remember the guy's last name. But anyway, they're trying to ban that song after all these years because it mentions something about putting something in a drink, and they're associating that with Bill Cosby. People, you know what? Let things be the way that they have been, because that song was out long before Bill Cosby allegedly did the things that he was accused of. So that song really has nothing to do with Bill Cosby, but they want to ban the song. Boy, I'm telling you, it is really crazy, you know, how people, crazy notions, these crazy ideas, and these crazy things that they want to do and change on account of something that happened today. You're trying to pin a song that happened, that was years and years ago, when activity the other day. No, you can't do that. Well, that's society for you. Then I know you also heard about the teacher, I think it's a teacher, who banned the candy canes from the classroom because she said it's a J, meaning Jesus, and the red in it is Jesus, a reminder of Jesus' blood. Now, she's a teacher. So who in the world taught her that? You know, what if she just sit around and just thought of something that she could just put out there and want for a little 15 minutes of fame? Because people be doing things a lot to get attention. You know, as long as candy canes have been around, and as long as people have indulged in eating candy canes, and are enjoying candy canes, now all of a sudden a teacher wants to ban them because it's a J, meaning Jesus, and the red is his blood. Well, whatever. Don't understand. But I guess people will be people, you know, do whatever it is they do. But that's it. They do what they do. They say what they say. And everything else. And I heard today that 6ix9ine, I think that's 6ix9ine, the guy that had the tattoos all over his face, a new young guy, allegedly is locked up for child sex crimes. They're saying that he's going to get out on probation and get no time and all this so crazy stuff. I mean, you know, just because he's a rapper, he's young and whatever, that does not exempt him from punishment from the law for a crime. But a lot of these celebrities, they're exempt from certain laws and time. They don't get the time that a regular person would get, because if that was a regular person, they would get every ounce of the time that they, because they said he would be locked up for 10 years. They would get every ounce of that time. So it shouldn't be no different for him just because he's a rapper. But there you go again. That is society for you. They make the laws. They break the laws. And they make more laws to fit certain people, certain crimes. But we all know there's only one judge, one jury, one prosecutor, executor. It's only one. And also, I was on the internet and I saw this. I'm going to tell you about this article that Tennessee Democrat Representative Stephen Coran said that President Donald Trump and his family make gangsters Al Capone and Frank Nitti like good guys. He also states it's a criminal enterprise that he and his family have been engaged in to run for president, and once they got the presidency, they monetized it, Coran said Sunday on MSNBC's Weekend with Alicia Witt. They've done it at the Trump Towers. They've done it at the Trump Hotels. They've done it with the Saudis. This is a criminal enterprise that makes Al Capone and Frank Nitti look like, make them look like they were good guys. Coran also said Trump never would have been elected if he hadn't paid hush money to Stormy Daniels, and suggests president may have also paid off Russian hackers to tip the scales in his favor. If he didn't do what he did, he would not have won the presidency. The hush money to Stormy Daniels, the hush money to Miss August, whatever he's involved with the Russians, and who knows if he paid off Russian hackers, Coran continued. He called Trump a cancer and said he'll end up dragging the entire GOP down with him. Republicans will start to see that there's a cancer on the presidency. This man is an albatross, and 2020 is coming up, and they don't want to lose their seat, and they can do it. Because all those people who are standing behind Donald Trump, they risk looking like fools and being voted out, Cohen said. Now, as far as, because I'm not a political person, so this is going to be brief what I have to say. I'm not discussing politics because I'm not a political person, but I do have this to say about this particular article. Trump is mentally ill. The man has mental issues, and if anybody don't see that and don't know it, then they're just as crazy as he is, because nobody does the thing. No president has done half of the stuff that Trump has done in 2 years, in the 4 years or the 8 years they served a term in office. No president. The man has mental issues. He's running the country like it's a business, taking care of the rich and the poor, still poor. I don't even think there's any more middle class. I think you're either rich or you're poor. Because everybody's struggling, except for the rich. They're just getting richer, having tax breaks and getting all this money for this and that, and people who need to be fired or not being fired. And, you know, it's like a zoo. A zoo. And like I said, Donald Trump has mental issues. And Melania, she's the most unhappy first lady I ever seen in the White House. You know, she doesn't, they don't even be together that much. You know, he's walking all in front of her. When she walks beside her, she's moving her hands. She acts like she really doesn't like him, which she probably don't. She probably don't. He just, you know, got money, so that's basically how he got her, rescuing her from being a, what do you call it, a nude model, tude or whatever. But those are the type of women that he liked. And, you know, what he said about, because he's a celebrity, how he can grab women. Why isn't he locked up? Why isn't he, how did, you know, but I know how he got selected to be the president, because he definitely wasn't elected. He was selected. But the man has mental issues. And like I said, people need to wake up, open your eyes. All the people out there that voted for him, I'm quite sure a lot of them are sorry that they did, but would never admit it. You know, they're so bent on saying things that Obama didn't do. Obama was the worst president, this and that. But see, Obama only could do what he was allowed to do because he was black, number one. You see how Trump does exactly any and everything that he wants to do because he's white. So, you know, I just, that's you know, my reasons for not being all up in that politician stuff is valid, very valid. Because you give them enough rope, they will hang themselves, but guess what? They're going to take a lot of other people down with them. And in 2020, that's when the next election is. I really don't see Trump being president for 8 years. And I tell you, if Bernie Sanders had ran up against him a couple of years ago, Bernie Sanders would have been the president. But see, just like Cohen said, Donald Trump has money, and he probably spent his money to get where he's at because he just come out of left field, running for the president. I know and the reason I think he ran for president because it proved something to Obama. Because I really don't think he wanted to be president, but he just wanted to run. And if he won, you know, to prove something to Obama, he was going to get all the Obama stuff out of there, drag Obama's name through the mud, talk about him like a dog. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. I did this. I did that. Look at me. I'm this. I'm that. Tweeting this. Tweeting that. Stop tweeting so much. Nobody cares about your tweets. You know, and basically nobody cares about you, for real. Because you are a cancer. Yes, you are a cancer. You have it, your children, your family, everybody. Y'all are cancer. Y'all went in that White House and just, like you said, monetized it. That's what you do, because you're a businessman. You're not a person who should be in charge of running a country. You're sending the army down there to harm people who are not armed, you know, to keep them on their side of the border. What about your wife? Where did she come from? Did she have legal papers here, or did you pay for her to be here? You know, but God help me. And I am going to continue to pray for you Donald Trump. Because if anybody ever on this earth needed prayers, Donald Trump. He needs prayer desperately. Bad. So I know you guys also heard about George W. Bush's father passing, and they were all at the funeral, the president, Trump, Obama, Clinton, and I don't know the other president. They were all sitting on the front row. Trump was sitting on the first seat. Next thing was Melania, then Obama, then Michelle, then Clinton, and his wife was next to him. So CNN's Don Lemon had this to say Wednesday. Don Lemon said Wednesday night that he would have snubbed President Donald Trump at former President George H.W. Bush funeral if he was former President Barack Obama. Chris Cuomo, whose show airs immediately before Lemon's, condemned those remarks. Nope, couldn't do it. I'm not that big a person. I would hope that I would be, but I don't. I can't fake the funk, as they say. I'm not saying the Obamas did that, but there they go, right there, Lemon stated. I think it's about showing respect for something bigger than them, Cuomo responded. Why would they do it when Trump doesn't? But I understand what you're saying, Lemon followed up. What are you talking about, Chris? They show respect for the office the way they conducted themselves in office. As Trump and Melania entered the National Cathedral to honor the late president, both of them shook hands and exchanged pleasantries with the 44th president and former First Lady Michelle Obama, he added. No scandal, there was no trash, there was no affair. They show the ultimate respect for the office. They do not have to show respect for someone who does not respect them, someone who tweets out pictures of them behind bars. You don't have to show respect for that kind of person. Let me show you what I would have done, Lemon continued. Lemon then called over someone who works on the show, and the camera panned out to show a man approaching Lemon. The man reached his hand out for a handshake, and Lemon promptly turned his back to him. You're petty and small, Cuomo interjected. Lemon answered, I'm not petty and small. That's real, brother. That's real. Now, Don Lemon, well, first of all, I want to say this. I agree with what Cuomo said because, number one, President Barack Obama knew what he was up against, but he never, never wavered. He never showed any type of disrespect when, you know, people were throwing questions at him, when they were trying to brow him down. He was always respectful. I will give him that. And he did what they let him do. The things that they allowed him to do, he did them. But other things, they just did not allow him to do it. So he was limited in the things that he could do, period. But he never wavered from his respect. On the other hand, Donald Trump has been so disrespectful to women, to men, the news media, to anybody he feels that calls him out and speak the truth about him, he disrespects them. Even during the campaign, he was disrespectful to people, telling somebody, beat him up, I'll pay your bond. What kind of mess is that? You know, this is a grown man running for the presidency, and that's the worst. That was one of the worst campaigns for presidency that I've ever, as long as presidents have ran for the presidency, that I've ever witnessed in my life. The worst. People were getting beat up, cussed at, thrown out the place. you know, and it wasn't supposed to be like that. It wasn't like that at Obama. It wasn't like that at none of the presidents campaigning. Here comes Trump, and everything just turned upside down. These things will go down in history. Trump being the worst president of the United States. Granted, he may have done a few good things, but whatever they were, don't measure up for all the bad things he's done, because he's done quite a lot of bad things opposed to good things. So I don't know. It's just crazy to me. So, and Don Lemon, for him to do that, how he did, you know, to me, what Don Lemon did, that was a little bit feminine to me, because it seemed like maybe a woman would turn her back on somebody opposed to a man. Because if you are a man, you can, you know, you can just like show respect for another man. You can hate his guts. You can actually hate this man, hate the grounds he walk on, hate the way he looks, smells, or whatever. When it comes down to respect, in order to be respected, you have to respect people. Now, maybe some people have been disrespectful to you, Don Lemon. I don't know. But don't be surprised when somebody, when you reach for somebody's hand and they turn their back on you. Because always remember, what goes around comes around. If you feel that way, what you're saying about Barack Obama, that he should have been a small person when it came to him shaking hands with Donald Trump and Melania, what did you expect him to do? That just goes to show how you feel about Barack Obama. You, and then for you to say something, but I'm not saying he's, I don't think he's faking the funk, but I would hope that he wouldn't be, but there he is. If he was faking the funk or whatever, think about it. Here's a man who was the president for 8 years. 8 years. Expect him to act like a fool. You know, I mean, give him credit. You got to give Trump credit, too, because Trump could have did what you did. But see, Trump, he has admitted how he feel about Barack Obama. And Barack Obama said some things about Trump. But the things that Barack Obama said about Trump are things that are things that are basically Trump has done that are detrimental to the United States. Things that Trump, like he had them behind, tweeted them behind bars, they should be in jail and all this kind of stuff. If anybody should be in jail, it's Donald Trump. He should be in jail or in a mental institution, one or the other. Because he's mental. Man has mental problems. And if you can't see that, then there's something wrong with you. I'm not a doctor, a nurse thing, but I can tell you this much. The man has mental issues because every time he opens his mouth, he lies. And he'll lie blatantly. He'll say one thing in one breath and turn around and say something in another breath and swear he never said it. And they showed it back, what he had lied about, but he swears, I didn't say that. So you tell me he ain't cuckoo. The man has mental issues, prayer. Something's going to say this. Just pray for him. Pray for him, because he needs prayer, because he's not going to be admitted to no mental institution. because nobody, I guess nobody is seeing that he's crazy. Well, people are seeing that he's crazy, but it's nothing. They can't admit him to a mental institution. All they can do is put up with him. But just pray for him, because guess what? Prayer works. And Cindy Clinton didn't shake his hand. The Clintons did not shake his hand. Well, Hillary, at least Hillary did. I don't know about Clinton, but Hillary definitely didn't shake his hand. I don't even think she looked at him. She was looking straight ahead. But it's no need you being angry, because all that stuff happened last year, and both of y'all was lying. Y'all both lying. But you angry because you were not elected, you were not selected as the president. I mean, but get over it. Get over it and, you know, be the bigger person. I would have got him, went down and shook his hand, gave him a hug and everything. But it just shows that you're bitter and angry. And who wants a bitter and angry president? Because he may have gotten in the White House and got angry with somebody, or angry with the foreign dignitary or something like that. And, you know, I mean, come on, Hillary. Be the bigger person. So this is not going to be a long show, because, like I said, I'm just ranting about things that that, you know, either I saw in the news or heard about or whatever. But if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call in number is 646-652-2877. Again, the call in number is 646-652-2877. And good evening to everybody that's on the switchboard. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, and I'm working on my sixth book. It's titled The Scent of a Man. And I've been working on this book since 2012. And the reason why I'm still working on it, because in the meantime, in between time, I had written a book for a young man who didn't pay for the book, so I put the book out myself. But just going through a lot of things, and then I moved from D.C. to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and just, you know, getting myself organized here and going through what I've gone through since I've been here. But things are certainly looking up and so much better for me now that I am here. So I'm working on that book, and I keep saying I'm going to have it out this year, but next year, 2019, you will be introduced to the book, The Scent of a Man. And like I said, the book is about women who think that there are no more good men left. They either think that all good men are either in jail, gay, married, or dead. Now, just listen to that thought, that little cliche. All good men are either dead, in jail, married. I'm just going to let you marinate on that for a while. But this book will let you know that there are still some good men out here, and there are ways that you can meet these good men, opposed to on the internet or chat lines and you know, over the phone and things like that. Because not to say that those relationships don't work, but sometimes you can be catfished or speaking to somebody, and when you see them, or you may never see them, because I've had experiences with that, you know, talking to someone on a chat line, and they say, okay, we can meet at this certain time, this certain place, and never show up. You know, I've met, talked to guys on a chat line, never showed up, you know, and then some guys, when they did show up, they were nothing like they described themselves over the phone. You know, so you have to be aware of how you meet these men. And I don't suggest run chat lines and internet bars and different things of the sort. And when you read the book, you'll understand why. Now, I'm not saying that if you meet somebody at a bar on the internet or so forth that it won't work out, but it's only like looking for a needle in a haystack, a guy that you will find that it will work out with. And I've had friends who met someone on the internet and got married and, you know, happy and all this and that, but that's a rare occasion. A rare occasion. And there are ways that you can meet somebody on the internet, how you can do it. You know, never trust anybody that says they look this way. If you can FaceTime them, that's good. And also do a background check on them, that's good too. You know, to get involved with somebody, get someone your heart, your money, and all this and that, that's crazy. And also, it brings me to this one factor. I was watching this show called Prison Love. And you know this old saying, a good many dead in jail, gay or married. In jail. Never. Never. Especially if you get involved with somebody that you met while they were in jail. And say this person's been locked up for maybe 5, 6, 10 years, and you're just meeting them. You will never get to know that person, because I'm telling you, person, when they get locked up, say if a person went to jail when they was 16 and they did 20 years, that makes them 36 when they get out. Trust and believe they still had that 16-year-old mentality when they went into jail, because when you're in jail, you're cut off from the outside world, and all you begin to know is the jail life. You pick up the habits. You're told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Then you also, for men that are locked up, if you're a young man, and you're sexually active, and you go to jail, sometimes it can work in your favor, then sometimes it can work against you. If you go to jail and you young and looking all innocent and naive and all this kind of stuff, 9 out of 10, you may become somebody's girlfriend while you're in there. So when you get out, you may have liked what had happened to you while you were in jail and continue that lifestyle. So you can't trust men who are locked up. Even if your husband goes to jail, you don't know what he's doing in there. If you don't have conjugal visits, and that's why I think that men who are married and go to jail should have conjugal visits with their wife, pass out condoms in jail, because they know that those men are engaged in sexual activities. And that's when they, man will go to jail, come home and give his wife AIDS. He'll come home and give his girlfriend AIDS. You know, so you have to be very, very careful making your selection of men. If you're going to be with somebody that's in jail, I don't recommend it at all, because I've been there, done that. All those men want is someone that can write them, keep them abreast of what's going on the outside, send them money, have phone sex, and just someone to keep them from going crazy. Because you will go crazy locked up in jail if you have nobody to talk to. I mean, it gets to a point in your life when you're locked up, you feel hopeless. And then you all of a sudden start losing control. And then things begin to happen. I've seen a special on HBO where this guy, he was married before he went to jail. He was married. And while he was locked up, him and some guy, you know, claiming had this jailhouse marriage or whatever. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, he didn't know how he was going to tell his wife. But if she was watching, he ain't had to tell her nothing. But he didn't know how he was going to tell his wife that he was in love with a man. Now, if my husband went to jail, he came home, told me he was in love with a man, that would end our relationship right there. Get out of my house, get out of my life, go be with your man. Some of these women, they take their husbands, they take them back because they think that they can change them. Once they're out of jail, they think, okay, well, he's with me now. Oh, no, it don't happen like that because guess what? He had that forbidden fruit. And they tell me that some men can do for another man what a woman can't when it comes to satisfying them. You know, it's just something that I learned. And I know a couple of guys who had went to jail and came and got out. And that's when they start exercising their sexuality towards men. Now, I don't know if it began in jail, but it's a possibility that it had to have begun in jail because they, you know, when they soon they got out, this is what they were doing, being with men, being with transsexuals and stuff like that. But I'm glad that I got uninvolved with, you know, the guy that I was involved with, maybe three guys in three different jails at a point in my life. And each time I got out in time, you know, finding out different things. But what made me become involved with him, because I was thinking that same way. I was thinking that, you know, if a man is locked up, he can't be with no other woman, not thinking that this man could be having sex with another man, confiscate a disease, come out, and then give it to me. I wasn't thinking like that. But guess what? I thought about it. And the very last time that I got involved with somebody, and the good thing I'm glad about is that I cut off the relationship before they even got out of jail. One guy did get out of jail. And like I said, when he got locked up, I forgot how old he was, but he was just too immature when he got out. Despite his real age, he was just too immature because when you get incarcerated, the clock stops. An outside world, you don't know nothing. And I don't know if you guys remember or heard about Terrence Johnson. He was a young man who went to jail when he was 14. He got out when he was 32. Was not rehabilitated. Even though he went to college, he got a degree and everything, but he got out. And for what he was locked up, he turned around and did the same thing. And then he ended up, so they say, he killed himself. But I don't know, but the police said he killed himself. But it just goes to show that he still was 14 because the crimes he committed was when he was 14. And how he got locked up for all those years was because while he was in jail, in an adult prison, in the interrogation room, I think it was, they were abusing him, punching on him, hitting him. And he was frightened. He was scared of his little 14-year-old boy. So he somehow got the policeman's gun and killed two, and their last name was Claggett. And the Claggetts were a very prominent family in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. So they locked him up with the intentions of him never getting out of jail. Because they rallied for him, protested for him, did this and did that, then he became a model prisoner. Went to college, got a degree, this and that. But he still had the mental capacity of a 14-year-old. when he got out, he started hooked up with a stripper. And his brother, same brother who was with him during the night of the crime. I think he really didn't even commit the crime. It was his brother who had committed the crime. But when the police had came and told him to, you know, go home, he had gotten smart with him and so forth and so on. So they locked him up. And that's what had happened. So he got out, and allegedly he was supposed to have, him and his brother had supposed to have robbed a bank, or tried to rob a bank, and the police came, and he killed himself. Because I guess, well, if he killed himself, I guess because maybe he didn't want to go back to jail. Now, this is if he killed himself. You know, probably because he didn't want to go back to jail, or it could have been that, you know, he just was didn't want people to look at him sideways if he got caught again. Because, I mean, people really rallied around to get this boy out of prison. They had all kind of protests, all kind of rallies, did this, did that. You know, and for him to go back and do what he did was crazy. 32 years old when he got out. They just killed himself. Just killed himself. But, you know, getting back to men in prison, I would never suggest anybody get involved with a man in prison. Because, number one, they had nothing but time on their hands. They had time to plot, plan, and scheme about how they're going to get their money, get money out of you, get you to come and visit them, get you to do all kind of things that you would not normally do. So my thing is, good men are not in prison. Now, if it's a man that's locked up and he's innocent, don't necessarily mean that he's good neither, because you don't know. But like I said, if my husband went to jail, I'd be suspicious. I really would, especially in this day and time. Especially in this day and time, because there's a lot of corrupt things going on. A lot of things that are happening that we have no control over. But you have control over yourself. So if you love yourself and care about yourself, leave them prison men alone. Destroy prison of love. It's one guy on. Oh, it's another girl. I think she's. I don't know if she's 30 something years old or how old she is. But anyway, she's a virgin. Now she's seeing this guy in prison. And she says that they're getting married the day he comes home. She's making all these provisions and going out buying sexy negligees and all this kind of stuff. And she's going to give her virginity to a man that comes out of jail. Now, hopefully, she'll use a condom. But if she don't, and he delivers her a package, AIDS, she's going to be one hurt sister. And then the fact of the matter, on that same show, this guy has another, and then he has a child. Oh, she was talking about, yeah, because he has a child, and I don't mind being a stepmom, blah, 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 this and that, whatever, whatever. I mean, just why are you setting yourself up for that? Because it also showed the girl he had the baby by, who was going to see him. She said that, I don't know, are they married? Or they're going to get, they're engaged. And I'm saying, what in the world is this all about? This is crazy. But she is so excited. Her father's trying to talk her out of it. But because she's grown, she's choosing to do that, to do whatever she want to do. And that's dangerous. That's like playing Russian roulette, darling. Then they had another couple on it. This older man, older white man, was seeing this this black woman who was locked up. This woman, he's out house hunting. He had already spent $90-some thousand sending her money in jail. And he said he had went and looked at a 3-bedroom house, blah, blah, this and all this and that. So she said, well, does it have a pool? Make sure, now this is what she was telling him, make sure it has a pool because you know I want a pool. And you might get 4 bedrooms because I really don't think when I come home I really want to have sex with you right away. Huh? Now, the guy met her daughter, told him that my mom is using you. He told her that, told him that her mother was using him because all she was doing drugs all her life and she had missed out on her mom's life and this and that and blah, 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 blah. But she said she was going to make sure that they don't, that man leaves her mom alone. And he done spent all his money talking about he loved her and all this and that. You know, women can do the same thing. They can be manipulative. They can play on your intelligence. They can scam and scheme and plot and plan and do the same thing that men do while they're in jail. And women do it so good, so good. Because all it takes is one horny man out here. And she telling him this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, so we're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And end up, when she get out, if he do have a house for her to come home to, I bet you a dime to a donut, she would end up killing him or putting him out of that house. But see, he's just desperate, a desperate man, because there's no way, no way. And there's another guy on there. His girlfriend is locked up. I mean, what gets me is how they say we're getting married as soon as they come home. Number one, you don't know nothing about this person. And she told him why he was locked up. I was talking to a guy, said he was locked up for something petty. But when I had found out the truth why he was locked up, and I questioned him about it, he tells me that's not true. So it's not true. Your name is on it and everything. No, that's not true. I said, well, I'll tell you the truth right now. I'm done. So I was that allegedly supposedly relationship when he got home was cut short. Because number one, he lied from Jump Street. And they will lie. They'll tell you that I got 2 years, 2 years come, 2 years go. Then they say, oh, well, they rejected my parole because of this, da-da-da-da. Knowing that they're going to be in there for life or longer than them 2 years that they told you from the jump. Yes. Just like the guy had also told me he was getting out in a couple of years. As far as I'm concerned, he may still be locked up, and that was back in back in the 80s. You know, sometimes experience can be the best teacher, because sometimes people don't want to hear things that you have to say to them when you give them advice and all this kind of stuff. Because my BFF was telling me about one of the guys I was involved with. She said, Gail, it don't sound right. Because I was telling her things he was saying, showing him the letters and this and that. And they'd be saying some of the sweetest things, things you really want to hear. They know what to say. So she told me, she said, Gail, I wouldn't trust him. And she was right. She was right. But I had to learn it on my own. But I tell you this much, never again. I would never be involved with somebody who's in jail. Never. Because one thing, when they're locked up, you're locked up too, mentally. You're sitting around waiting for them to call, paying for their collect calls, sending them packages, sending them letters, doing this, doing that. It's just like, why am I doing this? I'm in a free world, and I need to let this go. You know, it mentally drains you. But you got the women that stick by these jailbirds, love them. And I'm telling you, if a relationship does work when someone comes out of jail, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. Now, I'm not saying that it can't work or it hasn't worked, but why are you even going to set yourself up? Don't set yourself up like that. Don't do it. Because you will go through the heartaches and the pain of a broken heart, and basically you brought it on yourself. You know, so just be careful in your selection of men. When you meet your man out, if you meet him in a club, you know, a man who goes to a club every week, just because he meets you don't mean he's going to stop. It does not mean he's going to stop, not unless he's going there specifically to meet someone that he wants to stop going to the club for. But, you know, most guys that go to clubs are going for the entertainment, going for drinks, going to meet women, going to have one-night stands or whatever. You know, so it's like finding a needle in a haystack. You know, that would be hard. Now, I'm not saying that it's impossible to find a good man at the club, but it's like finding a needle in the haystack. I'm telling you. Places where you can meet good men. And then, see, some women want things like yesterday. They don't want to take their time and you know, to be in places where they can meet a good man. Or they don't want to take their time and wait on God to send them a man. They want everything, like, right away. I want a man right now. And that's when you run into trouble, when you get Mr. Right Now. Because guess what? He don't want no more than what you want. I mean, you may want more than what he wants. He may just want a one-night stand when you're looking for a husband. And then as soon as that night is up, he don't call you no more. You can't understand what happened. You know, I thought this was my dream man. I love him. No, boo-boo. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to say boo-boo, but no. Mm-mm. And a man already knows what woman he wants to be with. If you have sex with him on the first night, the third night, the fourth, fifth, sixth night, if he wants to be with you, he's going to be with you. But then you got the man to say, if a woman gives it up the first time, then she's a hoe. Well, what does that say about you doing it to this woman for the first time? You know, I mean, come on now. Good for the goose is good for the gander. And then, you know, some people have the 30-day rule, 90-day rule, and all this kind of stuff. But after them 90 days of man, he may have waited. He may have waited, but you never know, because he could be over there with so-and-so while he's waiting for you. Then he get with you and decide he don't want to be with you because so-and-so do it much better. But, you know, you just have to be careful in your selection of men. Just take your time, because guess what? I'm 69 years old. I ain't never been married a day in my life. I've been proposed to 6 times. And I thank God for each and every time that I did not marry one of those proposals. Looking back, I'm so glad that I did not accept those proposals. You know, but You got women that say, we'll be with a man just because. And I'm not going to be with no man just because. You know, and they don't want to be lonely. And this and that. Well, nobody wants to be lonely, but there are things you can do to confiscate that. I mean, to compensate the loneliness. You know, you could call up some friends or go visit, or, you know, there are things that you can do to compensate for your loneliness. There is nothing like having a companion. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants companionship. Everybody wants to cuddle, hug, kiss, be made love to, be happy. Everybody wants that, and everybody deserves that. But you have to be careful in your selection of men. This is what the book is about. And where to go to meet these men. There are places where you can meet men and the type of man you want. If you want to be with a wealthy man, or if you want to be with a white man, or whatever man type of man you want to be with, there are places where you can meet these men. And these are prominent, good men. So we're going to take a commercial break, and then I'm going to start closing the show down. We'll be right back.
You're listening to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show at 109.9 Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hosted by Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. For questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And remember, if life gives you lemons, make a martini. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
You say that we're through, it's over between me and you. The fire's gone out, and it's time we both found someone new. Oh, oh. It hurts to hear you say those words. Now there'll never be another someone for me on this earth. So pull the moon down from the sky. I won't need no. If you do with these arms, close the door to my heart and walk away with the key. And turn out the stars when you I'll never love anyone else.
turn out the light when you leave. When you leave, turn out the light.
All right, that was Ollie Woodson, Turn Out the Stars. This is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. And tonight's show was rant from the host, me. Hope you guys enjoyed this segment, rant from the host. And if you took anything from it, hopefully you did. And always remember, be kind to people, be nice to people, you know, love people. You know, in order to receive love, you have to give love. In order to be a friend, to have friends, you have to be a friend. It's important. It's nice to be someone important. Be nice to someone. Don't drink and drive. I love talking to you guys, not about you. Love seeing you, not viewing you. With that being said, everybody have a beautiful evening. If you're in the North Carolina area and you're snowed in, be careful, be safe. Don't, if they say don't drive in that weather, you know, stay out of it. But if you have to go out of it, be careful. So many people are being in accidents and losing their lives over inclement weather. And all you have to do is be careful. All right, until I speak with you guys again, love you. Have a beautiful week. And hopefully I'll see you Saturday. If not, I may not be back until the holidays are over, but like I said, hopefully I'll be back Saturday. You guys have a beautiful rest of the week. Love you. Good night, everybody. And thanks, guys, for tuning in.
You just listened to the number one radio station on the internet, Delicious Talk Radio. Thank you and good night.